When a God Intervenes. Lou. It happened too quickly to stop. Snarling, Coco pulled me behind a tree, slashing open her arm in the same movement. The instant my back touched the trunk, I registered two things. First, a warm, wet substance coated the bark, mixed with stinging nettles. And second, it melted my armor instantly. Then came pain, violent pain. It ripped through my limbs as serrated branches pierced my hands and my feet, lifting me in the air like Jesus to the cross. Though I tried to scream for Claude, for Xena, for anyone, thorns shot forth across my mouth. They lacerated my lips, my cheeks, gagging me with poisoned tips. Helplessly, I thrashed, but the spikes and thorns bit deeper. Though Coco reached for me in horror, Nicolina pounced, giggling when Coco sprayed blood across her face, then punching her fist into Coco's ribcage. No, through it, straight toward her heart. Choking on a gasp, Coco clawed at Nicolina's wrist, her eyes wide and unseeing. When Nicolina squeezed, she fell frighteningly still.
Nicolina!
Josephine's deep voice cut through the night.
Enough.
Nicolina glanced back at her mistress, laughter fading. They held gazes for a second too long before, reluctantly, Nicolina withdrew her hand from Coco's chest cavity. The latter's eyes rolled and she collapsed, unconscious, to the ground.
Nasty, Nicolina muttered.
Josephine didn't react. She only stared at me. No longer impassive, she lifted her chin with the chilling words,
Bring me her heart.
If Nicolina hesitated, if a shadow crossed her expression, the movement was near indiscernible. I could do nothing but watch, delirious with pain, as she took a single step in my direction. Two, three. My heart pounded savagely, pumping more of Josephine's blood through my veins, more poison. I wouldn't close my eyes. She would see her reflection in their depths. She would see this monster she'd become, this perversion of the person she'd once been. Her own features, her son's features, twisted into something sick and wrong. Four steps now. Coco's blood still dripped from her hand. It scorched the skin there. She ignored it. On the fifth step, however, her eyes flicked to the Douleur. It wound behind us through the city, the river where the Archbishop had almost drowned me, where Reed and I had spoken our vows. Josephine followed her gaze, snarling at something I couldn't see. I strained to hear, but the dull roar of the water revealed nothing.
Do it, Josephine said quickly. Do it now.
Though Nicolina moved with renewed urgency, her entire body shuddered with the next step. Her foot lurched. Slipping, she crashed to her knees in a graceless movement. Confusion warped her ghastly face. Confusion and panic. Gritting her teeth, she struggled to stand as her muscles spasmed, as they rioted against her. I stared at her now, hardly daring to hope.
Naughty! Nasty!
Each word burst from her in a sharp exhale, as if she suffered terrible pain. Her entire body bowed. Still, she crawled forward, her nails tearing through earth.
Tricky little mice. Useless.
Lip curling with disgust, Josephine strode toward me, kicking Nicolina's ribs as she went. Hard.
I will do it myself.
Nicolina's head lifted with a frighteningly blank expression. On my first day in Caesarine, a stray dog had meandered into the garbage where I'd hidden. Shivering and alone, his only possession had been a bone. I'd watched as a cruel child had stolen it from him, as she'd beaten him with it until the dog had snapped, lunging forward to bite her hand. Later that day, after the girl had scampered away, crying and bleeding, a man had patted the dog's head as he passed, feeding him a bit of calisson. The dog had followed him home. Like a stray dog in the garbage, Nicolina snapped, plunging her nails into her mistress's calf. Josephine jerked as if startled, her eyes narrowing with incredulity, then widening with rage. With a feral snarl, she swooped to seize Nicolina's hair, wrenching her attendant upward and sinking her teeth deep into her throat. Bile rose in my own as those teeth crunched and snapped, feasting hungrily, while Nicolina kicked helplessly. Her screams ended in a gurgle. Josephine had torn out her vocal cords. Even then, she didn't stop. She drank and drank until Nicolina's hands slackened and her feet fell limp.
She drank until splashes sounded behind us, accompanied by piercing undulations, battle cries. When the first naked woman sprinted past, silver hair rippling and trident flashing, I never thought I'd be so grateful to see Elvira's backside. Dropping Nicolina's body, Josephine whirled with wild eyes. Blood poured from her mouth, but she caught Elvira's trident before it connected with her skull. Aurelien felled my tree with a single stroke of his club. He caught me with surprising tenderness, while La Simone dropped to his knees beside us.
"My lady sends her regards," he rumbled. "Forgive me. This is going to hurt."
He peeled the thorns from my mouth, drew the spikes from my hands and feet, as Olympienne, Leopoldine, and Sabaté fell upon Josephine. Dozens of others streaked past, finding prey within the trees, the blood witches who'd gathered to watch my execution. As I coughed and spluttered, Aurelien and La Simone dragged me from harm's way.
"What can we do?" the former asked. "How may we heal you?"
"You can't do anything unless you're hiding an antidote to poison in your... not pocket."
I coughed on a laugh, cradling my hands in my lap. They'd rested me against another tree, this one thankfully free of blood.
"Go. My body will heal."
"Just slowly." They didn't need to be convinced. With two impeccable bows, they charged into the fray once more. I tried to breathe, to anchor myself in my magic. It had purged the hemlock from my body. It would cleanse Josephine's blood, too. Though the pattern shone dimmer than before, stretched too far and too thin across the city, the brindle trees helped. Even now, the power of this sacred grove flowed through me, deepening my connections, restoring my balance. I just needed time. With a jolt of panic, I remembered Coco. Trying and failing to stand, I searched for her amidst the chaos, blood witches and Melusine weaving through the shadows of the trees, and found her sitting up amidst the roots of another sapling. At her back, Angelica helped her stand. I heaved a shaky sigh of relief, until the two turned to face Josephine. She fought with blood and blade, slicing and swiping at the Melusine with preternatural strength and speed. If their blood didn't spill, hers did, and she spattered it in their eyes, ears, noses, and groins, every vulnerable spot in their human bodies. When Elvira fell backward, tangling in another witch's black thorns, Angelica cut her free with equal skill. Josephine snarled. With the shake of her head, Angelica cleaned the thorn sap from her blade, wiping it on her gown. She'd worn a gown.
"You've chosen the wrong side, sister. At least I've chosen a side."
Josephine didn't cower as Angelica approached. Coco crept behind, her eyes wide and anxious. I tried again to stand.
"For too long, you have spoken of right and wrong, of good and evil, of facile concepts that do not exist, not truly."
She prowled around Angelica, who waved her hand to still Elvira's approach.
"There is only pursuit, dear sister, of knowledge, of power, of life. But you have always been afraid to live, haven't you? You craved power, yet you betrayed your own people. You sought love and affection, yet you abandoned your child. Even now you yearn for freedom, yet you remain trapped beneath the sea. You are a coward."
She spat the word and continued circling. Angelica turned with her, keeping Coco at her back.
"You're such a fool," she whispered.
"I am the fool? How do you envision this ends, sister?"
Josephine's mouth twisted as she gestured between the two of them.
"Shall we carry on the pretense? Will you cut yourself to cut me? We both know it cannot go beyond that. One cannot live without the other. I cannot kill you, and you cannot kill me."
"You're wrong." Josephine's eyes narrowed at the words.
"I think not.
We must all play our parts."
Lacing her fingers through Coco's, Angelica glanced back and squeezed.
"For a new regime."
Josephine stared between them. Perhaps it was the way Coco shook her head, the tears in her eyes. Or perhaps it was the profound acceptance in Angelica's smile. The way she touched Coco's locket and whispered,
"Wear it always."
Whatever the reason, she yielded a step, then another. Indeed, when Angelica faced her once more, advancing slowly, knife in hand, Josephine abandoned all pretense. She turned and fled.
Nicolina caught her ankle. Unseen by all, she dragged herself forward, throat mangled, each breath a wet, hollow sound. Her skin had grayed beyond pale, corpse-like. Even now, she struggled to keep her eyes open as her lifeblood poured freely. She didn't let go. Appalled, Josephine tried to kick free, but she slipped in Nicolina's blood, falling hard to the ground. The movement cost her. Mustering the last of her strength, Nicolina crawled up her legs as Angelica advanced.
Get off of me, you disgusting little—
Though Josephine scrambled backward, kicking harder, she couldn't dislodge her attendant.
Mistress, Nicolina gurgled.
Josephine's eyes widened in true panic now. Turning, she attempted to push to her feet, but Nicolina held on, trapping her legs. Angelica loomed behind. When Josephine crashed back to the ground, twisting, snarling, Angelica knelt beside her, sliding her blade neatly through her sister's neck. Right at the base of the skull. The three of them died together. It wasn't poetic. It wasn't grand or heroic or momentous, like one might have expected. The heavens didn't part, and the earth didn't swallow them whole. These three women, the oldest and most powerful in the world, died just like anyone would, with their eyes open and their limbs cold. Coco pulled her mother apart from the rest, fighting tears, heedless of the fighting around her. I staggered to her side. When she saw me, she gasped my name, flinging her arms around me.
Are you all right?
She pulled back to look at me, frantic, wiping her tears. Her fingers touched my face.
Oh my God, here, let me heal you.
Save your strength. I'm already healing. Her eyes dropped back to her mother.
We need to finish this, Lou.
Slowly, I knelt to the ground, closing each of their eyes in turn, even Nicolina's, even Josephine's. And we will. She supported my shoulders as we hobbled through the trees to the street. To Coco's surprise, and less to mine, a handful of blood witches ceased fighting when they recognized Josephine's corpse on the ground. Some knelt beside her, others fled. Still more looked to Coco as if lost, mirroring her own unnerved expression. At the blood witch's abrupt withdrawal, the Melusine moved on, following the sounds of shouts and steel. Claude, still shaped as the Woodwose, thundered around the corner at the far end of the street. When he saw us, he moved faster, raising his voice to shout.
What is it? What happened? I heard your call.
Something moved too quickly behind us. A flash of white, of moonbeam hair.
Look out!
Celie's unexpected shriek nearly rent the sky, but it was too late. We couldn't stop it. Paralyzed with fear, we stood rooted as Morgane rose up to meet us, as she lifted her hand to thrust a dagger in my heart. As Claude blasted us backward, and her lips curled into a macabre smile.
Oh no.
Her ghostly laughter reverberated through the grove.
Oh no, no, no.
The ground beneath us began to quake.
It seems you've broken the rules, darling.
Tutting, she shook her head.
Old ones.
Sickening realization dawned. He's intervened, I repeated on a whisper. As one, Coco and I turned to Claude, who stood alone in the street, his face a mask of calm. The cobblestones cracked and fissured around him. The earth trembled. He looked us squarely in the eyes.
Run.